I know you are a very, very busy guy, so I really express my appreciation for your joining us, John. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was a joy to receive your email message and to be reminded that CBC is, or RCI is 70 years old. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Well, listen, let me ask you this. When did you fall in love with radio itself? Were you one of those persons that had a little transistor and slipped under the covers and put it under the pillow and listened to it?
Close to it. It had to be back in maybe 1965, 64. I was thinking about this. Today, I found an old radio, one of these big console radios, on the side of a road in my neighborhood. And I got my wagon, put the radio in it, and pulled it in my garage, or my parents' garage, set it up in there, and started playing around with it. And one of the first stations that I heard, and this is the truth, was Radio Canada International.
Come on.
It's the absolute truth. I could hear about two or three stations because I didn't have an antenna on it.
Okay.
I could hear Voice of America, Radio Canada International, and then a station called WWV, which is a time station. Listen to see what time it was, which is a big deal back then. Now you have computers and so forth. But that was absolute truth. That's when I started listening to Radio Canada International. It was back in 1965.
And do you remember what was on by any chance?
I do. I came across the Radio Canada International, was it a listeners' club? I think that's what it was. It was by Ian McFarland.
Ian McFarland, that's right.
Was the host of the show. And I would listen to that show religiously every Saturday to catch up on the shortwave tips and so forth. And that started my hobby in shortwave listening, which I more or less continued on through now.
Do you combine that with regular radio listening, or are you one of those ham radio guys that just fell in love with that, with talking to somebody from the Azores or something, or how did that work?
Yeah, I am an amateur radio operator, and that came a little later, which is pretty much a normal progression for that. People would get involved in shortwave listening, then they would start working with amateur radio, and my interest has ebbed and flowed over the years. A couple things I like to do is if I'm traveling, if I'm driving somewhere, especially at night, I'll start tuning across the AM dial just to see what starts coming in. And so I'll hit a lot of clear channel stations from, depending on where I am, all over North America. And that's I enjoy that. My wife doesn't all that much, but she tolerates it because I'm driving. And I just find it interesting to hear what people in other areas of the world are experiencing and what's on their mind and what the important issues are for them. I know that there was one thing that I certainly appreciate shortwave listening has helped me do is get a broader perspective of what's going on in the world other than what's going on with me, where I live and so forth, and what we're experiencing here. So,
do you still listen to RCI as we approach life now?
I listen to the website occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I will go to the website, and I started reading a McLean's about 3 years ago. So we subscribed to that, and again that sort of keeps me grounded over what else is going on in the world, and I really do enjoy it. And I work with quite a few people in Canada in my job, and I'll mention something to them, and we'll talk about the different political figures that both of our countries seem to have embraced, and what sort of shenanigans they've been up to, and we both get a good chuckle out of that. So it. Someone will ask me something about a politician down here in the States, and I'll respond with someone in Canada, and they'll be amazed that I that I know about them, or I know something of them, and it really makes people feel more comfortable with each other. That hey, this guy is interested in what I'm experiencing, and I feel the same thing.
So was it love at? I mean, take me back to that wagon and discovering the big console. Was it love at first sight with? Well, I'll be greedy here with RCI. I mean, all of a sudden you went, "Wow, this is fun," or this is.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. I did. It was. I don't think I was. Love might be a strong word, but I certainly had a very strong like, and it's something I really enjoyed doing. And it was something I always made time for. I like playing with electronics. I like playing with mechanical things. It's a nice diversion from what I do for a living.
Okay.
Most of my time is spent on the phone. And in fact, the majority of my day is spent on the phone and so forth. And so it's having a diversion like shortwave listening, electronics. You know, I like playing with cars. And automotive things. It's a nice diversion from what I do for a living, and I look forward to taking part in those diversions from time to time.
As I wrote in my introduction, you're a type of person a person really wants to do a good job for. I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. Is that how you deal with your work too?
I try to treat people fairly. I appreciate when people. Well, when people go a little extra and so forth, I do.
But that's contagious, John. You see, I don't know how I knew that, but that's how you were at the other end of the radio spectrum. Because radio, by definition, is a dialogue, right? It's a dialectic. It's something is required of the listener as well as the person in front of the mic, right?
Yes. You're absolutely right. I when I read that, I thought, oh, that's true. It really is. It really is. We really do need to get some sort of response, some sort of feedback or something from that other person to see how we're doing, if we're successful, or making the mark and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's always been an experience that I've gotten from the folks on your end, is that, you know, I remember the first time I spoke with Ian Jones and had me on a radio. I was just thrilled. I said, oh my gosh, I'm on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh yeah, it's not a big deal. John, we'll put you on. And we're like, don't I have to prep? No, just go. We just go. And he did. And I was just amazed. I was amazed that he would take the time out of his day to talk with me. And, you know, in retrospect now, what you said is that it's an integral part of radio, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Be engaged with your audience.
What was your favorite moment on the mailbag? Because you were a regular listener. What did you? I know the music I chose for you had to be favorite, but no. What would be your favorite moment? What's your outstanding moment on the mail?
The music was good because some of the other hosts, when you were subbing for them, didn't appreciate that fine music, and they would make comments about it the next week. So I really enjoyed the banter between the hosts or among the hosts, depending on how many were on there. That was always fun to listen to. I enjoyed the calls that the Maple Leaf Mailbag would have on there, and not just to me, but to other listeners and so forth. That was fun to listen to. And then I also enjoyed the letters from different listeners. Again, kind of getting an idea of what sort of things that they're, what are they all about, what are they interested in, what are they experiencing, and so forth. So back to your original point, Terry, the interaction between the audience and the announcer is what I really enjoyed. I just enjoyed that.
Did you instinctively know that the day you got that you put that radio in your wagon, or was it a process of discovery?
It was probably something. It was a process of discovery, and I probably didn't realize it until maybe about 6 or 7 years ago. Really did.
Do you think radio has a future?
I do.
You do? Why?
I do, because I think people have an inherent need or want or desire to communicate with each other. Now, radio, maybe not. With a big old transmitter or something like that, and I do listen to. I'll give you an example. I was driving back from Springfield, Illinois, actually from St. Louis, Missouri, one year, about 3 years ago. It was in February. And like I said before, I was just scrolling across the FM dial, just letting it scan. And it was about noon near Springfield, Illinois, so about halfway home. And there was a public radio station there, had these two guys, they're probably my age, maybe a little older, and they're playing blues records. And I just listened to them as long as I can. I found out that they were simulcast on this community college's website. So every Sunday I listen to them. It's from 12 to 2. You can tell it's live because they make a lot of mistakes in production and so forth, and things don't work real well. But I love it because it's live and they're interacting with the music. I also listen to one of these web stations that just play music. You know, you pick your genre and so forth, and I have one that's set up for Chicago blues, and I'll just let it play. And I enjoy that, but I also enjoy listening to that one station where these guys are doing the same sort of music, but they're interacting with it. Also, there's a lot of people who don't have access to the internet or choose not to or whatever. And an AM radio, FM radio, whatever, that's how they get their news and their communications and so forth. You know, driving in a car, I want to put on the radio, listen to the news, or just have something going on in the background. So yeah, I believe it's going to has a future. Maybe not in the way we're thinking about it, but certainly the communication between the announcer and the audience will still be there.
I feel like we made history today because the three first radio stations you ever heard, Voice of America, RCI, and the Time Station in the garage in Chicago, Illinois.
That's right.
Wow.
In my parents' garage in Lockport, my mom said, "What are you doing back in there?" "Oh, I'm just playing with radio I found." And that was it.